What does it mean when the person you thought you knew turns out to be a stranger? When Diana Goodwin is found dead in her study with a typed suicide note beside her, her family assumes they understand what happened. But the autopsy tells a different story. Subtle bruising, microscopic fibers under her nails, evidence of suffocation. Suddenly, a quiet death becomes a murder investigation, and everyone in this wealthy Boston family has secrets worth killing for. Sally Hepworth's psychological thriller doesn't just ask whodunit, it asks something far more unsettling. How well do we really know the people we live with, eat dinner with, claim to love? The novel became a sensation, not because it's another family mystery, but because it exposes the dangerous gap between who we think our relatives are and who they actually might be. Every reader who has ever felt misunderstood by in-laws, every person who has smiled through tense holiday dinners while screaming inside, recognizes something uncomfortably familiar in these pages. Lucy lost her mother at 13. When she married Ollie Goodwin, she desperately hoped his mother Diana would fill that void. Someone to share recipes with, call for advice, feel unconditionally loved by. Instead, she got a woman carved from ice. Their first meeting set the tone. Diana's polite assessment of Lucy as fine felt like a death sentence. Diana came from old Boston money, original Monets in the foyer, staff quarters in the house. Lucy grew up in small-town New Hampshire, where love meant bear hugs and spontaneous laughter. Diana ran a prestigious refugee charity and believed emotional boundaries were healthy. Lucy craved the warmth she remembered. The disconnect crystallized when Lucy gave birth to Archie. Diana arrived 3 hours late, having helped a refugee client deliver. Worse, she'd given away the enormous teddy bear her husband Tom bought for Archie, handed it to that refugee family instead. To Lucy, this wasn't generosity, it was betrayal. Yet 2 weeks later, Diana appeared unannounced with roasted chicken and cleaning supplies. She found Lucy drowning in chaos and quietly restored order. When Archie wouldn't stop crying, Diana demonstrated a burping technique that instantly soothed him. Then she left without explanation. This became their pattern. Diana showing love through practical action, Lucy yearning for emotional intimacy. Each woman interpreted the other's behavior as rejection, building resentment brick by brick. When Lucy and Ollie requested help with a house deposit, Diana refused outright. "Every generation faces challenges," she lectured. "Look in less desirable neighborhoods. Consider longer commutes." Lucy later discovered Tom had secretly written Ollie a substantial check. She insisted they return it. Diana's rigid stance stemmed from trauma. Pregnant and unmarried at 20, she'd been sent to a home for unwed mothers, designed to shame rather than support. After escaping, she survived in near poverty, discovering an inner strength she never knew existed. That experience convinced her that adversity builds character, that financial struggle is life's greatest teacher. She genuinely believed withholding money was an act of love. When Nettie, devastated by miscarriages, begged for IVF funding, Diana refused while Tom secretly provided it. The family learned to work around her, creating a web of hidden transactions. The breaking point came at Christmas dinner. Diana criticized Lucy's choice to stay home, suggesting she'd be destitute if anything happened to Ollie. Nettie, raw from fertility struggles and secret arrangements, exploded, attacking her mother's hypocrisy of preaching family values while refusing IVF help, accepting Tom's generosity while maintaining her principled stance. The holiday dissolved into tears and accusations. Money had become the weapon destroying their fragile peace. The investigation demolished carefully maintained facades. Diana's medical records revealed the truth. No cancer, no tests, no oncologist. The illness her family rallied around for months was entirely fabricated. 3 weeks before her death, she changed her will, leaving her multi-million-pound estate to her charitable foundation. Her children received only personal mementos, devastating news given their desperate circumstances. Ollie's business was hemorrhaging money, with creditors circling, while Nettie had spent $50,000 on failed fertility treatments and needed funds for surrogacy. Diana had discovered Patrick's year-long affair through private investigators, but kept silent. 2 months before her death, she learned worse. Patrick suggested withholding Nettie's fertility funds, planning to let her age out of surrogacy eligibility. He wanted Diana's inheritance without children. Lucy and Ollie's marriage showed equally troubling cracks. He'd concealed business losses exceeding £800,000. Bank statements revealed systematic theft. They faced not just lost inheritance, but potential bankruptcy. Each revelation multiplied suspects and motives. This seemingly perfect family was actually desperate people hiding behind polite smiles and Sunday dinners. Suspicion initially fell on Ollie, seen at Diana's property with financial troubles providing motive. Police discovered Diana's connection to Peaceful Passage, a euthanasia group, and learned Lucy had helped Diana obtain dark web suicide drugs. Diana's journals revealed suicide plans after Tom's death, but Lucy had become her confidant, persuading her to choose life. Diana's final months showed renewed purpose. She'd secretly developed plans for Ollie's refugee recruitment agency, combining social impact with profit. Nettie had reached breaking point. Her motherhood dreams required substantial funds Diana refused to provide. In uncontrolled rage, Nettie smothered her mother with a cushion, staging the scene as planned suicide using Diana's acquired drugs. Consumed by guilt and facing arrest, Nettie took her own life with the remaining drugs. Her final note revealed her determination to protect Ollie from wrongful conviction, a last act of sacrifice in a family destroyed by misunderstanding and unspoken pain. 10 years later, Lucy and Ollie run Diana's Bridge, a refugee employment agency funded by Diana's charitable trust, placing hundreds of skilled refugees in professional positions annually. Gazella, whose baby Diana delivered in her final act, serves as their cultural liaison. Managing the foundation's finances, Ollie finally grasps his mother's philosophy: money is merely a tool for creating positive change. Lucy keeps Diana's final letter framed in her office. "I worked hard for everything I ever cared about, and nothing I ever cared about cost a single cent." Written hours before Diana's death, these words became the organization's motto, revealing Diana's hidden depths. Value lies not in monetary worth, but in effort invested in meaningful pursuits. The tragic irony cuts deep. Lucy missed Diana's countless practical demonstrations of care, while Diana misinterpreted Lucy's emotional needs as weakness. These mutual misunderstandings, amplified by decades of family secrets and financial pressure, made tragedy inevitable. Patrick remarried within 2 years. Lucy and Ollie chose differently. Their refugee agency embodies Diana's values, while their parenting combines her practical approach with Lucy's emotional warmth. Proof that family bonds, though painful and complicated, can transform when approached with honesty. We have two families, the one we're born into and the one we choose. Diana valued independence. Lucy prioritized connection. Neither approach was wrong, but their failure to bridge that gap led to irreversible loss. Diana showed love through practical help. Lucy needed words and embraces. Both were loving. Neither felt loved. The tragedy isn't just their deaths, but the years of possible reconciliation that preceded them, years when understanding was within reach but never grasped. Lucy and Ollie's agency honors what can be built from ruins. Every refugee they help embodies Diana's belief that people need opportunity, not handouts. Every family they unite proves that practical love matters as much as emotional warmth. This story challenges us to look deeper, to ask not just whether we love our family, but whether we truly see them. Before it's too late, reach across the divide, speak the truth, ask the questions, because understanding, once lost, can never be reclaimed, only mourned.